So, patience. Who of you amongst us here today consider yourself patient? You don't get upset if you have to queue for hours and hours at the post office, or you don't mind being stuck behind someone that's driving 30 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone? Anyone? Well, in a normal day for me, I've got much more to do than the hours allow for. So when I am in that situation, I'm afraid I do really get challenged and I do really get impatient. But you'll be pleased to know that the Holy Spirit has been working in my heart and my children have been witnessing it, because he started telling us things like, I've made all people. I love everyone. Doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter how slow they drive. And now we even pray for them. So when I make a comment, my children are like, Mom, pray. So we pray for slow drivers. Not for their right-hand pedals to go faster, just for God to bless them. So in today's quick fix culture, we want everything yesterday. We want everything to come quick and fast. But in the kingdom of God, it doesn't really work like that. The Bible encourages us to be patient. So to start off, I want to read from this beauty. This is a Oxford Dictionary, first edition, 1933. And I want to read for you, if my stand will stay in place, what it says. Patience, defined in 1933. The suffering or enduring with calmness and composure. Forbearance, long-suffering, long-amenity under provocation of every kind or any kind. In more recent translations, it reads, the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb to trials. If we look at the passage that Fiona read in the Greek, it's also really interesting because there's two words being used, very similar, but there's slight differences. The first one is hupomone, endurance, putting up with things or circumstances, getting to a point where nothing in life can bump us over, where we're enduring, pushing through, we keep going. And the second one is macrothymia, patience and long-suffering, particularly with people. And this is what Jesus was demonstrating when he was walking on the earth. Every interaction he had with someone, there was no condemnation. There was patience and kindness. This is also the same word that Paul uses in Galatians. So Paul tells us in Galatians that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Probably one of the hardest fruits to develop. My daughter Rachel loves fruit, any fruit. She's a fruit addict, which is not a bad thing, I guess. But in particular, she likes peaches. So when I want to do her a favor or make her happy, I go on online order and I order peaches. And I always try to choose the ones that says ready to eat. Unfortunately, quite often, when the ready-to-eat peaches come, they are very not ready to eat. And if you bite into them, they can break your teeth almost. So you've got to be really careful. But if that peach was left on the tree for just a little bit longer, if it was left there to just develop a little bit further, it would have become nice and ripe and juicy and succulent. It would have fulfilled its purpose as a peach, and we would enjoy it when we eat it rather than breaking our teeth. That's how it is with patience. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, he comes on the inside of us, but it's almost like a seed, like a green peach. For patience to fulfill its purpose, it has to develop to the point where we can use it effectively. It has to be nurtured and watered with the Word of God. When we are impatient, it's an indication that we need more growth. There's more development that needs to take place. So this is important, church, because if we want to show the work of the Holy Spirit to the world out there, we do need patience. I feel as Christians, patience is not really an option, or we can't really choose whether we want it or not. It's really part of God's character. We know God is patient and tolerant and kind, I mean, I get upset if I'm stuck in a 50-mile-an-hour zone and I have to drive 30. But God has so much patience with us. He takes our hands and goes at walking speed. We fall over and he picks us up like a toddler, put us back on our feet, sturdy us, and then off we go again. So on the one side, we have God that is naturally patient. That's who he is. And then on the other side, we have us who are naturally impatient. And how do we bridge the gap? How do we go from being impatient to patient like God? The more time we spend with God through relationship, the more we become like him. He rubs off on us, if you want to put it that way. When we make mistakes, there's normally consequences, right? If I drive too fast, I'm going to get a speeding fine. If I forget to turn the stove off, I'm going to burn the food and the whole house is going to smell. But with God, it's not like that. We make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But we can make them again and again, and God is just so patient and kind with us. And as I said, he lifts us up and puts us back on our feet. So why do we need patience? Hebrews 12:6-12 tells us how important patience is in our faith walk. He wants each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. As I said before, faith is one of the hardest fruits to develop. But we need patience to receive from God. We need patience to inherit the promises from God. Most people think patience is just sitting quietly, waiting, and keeping it all, you know, being frustrated, but just keeping it all to ourselves. But that's not it. Patience is very active. Patience is not passive at all. Patience is persevering in our faith, which means we don't allow anyone to talk us out of what we believe and what we know God has given us. So number one, we need patience to receive from God. Number two, patience puts Jesus on display. Philippians 1:11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. When we are patient, we bring glory to God. One of the most powerful ways for us to demonstrate Jesus to our friends and family and those in the outside world is by being patient, being Christ-like. And it stands out even more when we are facing the trials in our lives, when we are going through those challenging times where we just don't know what to do. Those are the times when it stands out even more. When you've applied for a job promotion and you didn't get it, the way you respond to that shows Jesus to those around you. Or if you're really unwell and really suffering, the way you deal with that pain and suffering and hope, the conversations of hope you have with those around you, shows the Jesus that lives inside of you. And as a result, it gives hope to everyone around you. The third one I wanted to mention, that is that we need patience when we are praying for a miracle. So I want to do a little demonstration, and you have to pretend you don't see Di. So this is my prayer. I am trusting God for a miracle. Doesn't matter what I'm facing. I don't have to say it because we've all faced them. So this is my prayer, and I'm praying to God. Now I've prayed to God. I am standing on his promises. I know that he wants to bless me because we serve a good God, a God that really cares for us intimately. And now my faith journey begins. Now I'm waiting to bring the promise of God towards me. And I'm pulling. But before the promise gets to me, at any point, I can get let go of this rope, right? Now I've got nothing to pull. There's nothing that I can bring towards me. So God wants us to hold on to this rope, persevere, even if it's tough, even if it takes a long time. If you need a miracle, the most crucial time in your faith life is the time that passes from when you pray the prayer and when you receive it. It's time when things are being set in motion, but we've not yet received it. It's like the song we sang earlier. We can't yet see it, but you know, we know you are there. We can't see it yet, but we know it's coming. The one thing that will keep our faith moving forward and our promises coming is the fruit of patience. It gives us the ability to wait without hesitating, to never give up, even if the symptoms persist or if it takes a long time. This is not easy. We don't generally get miracles with just a 5-minute faith. Miracles is normally something we have to trust God for and endure. And that's where patience comes in. 1 Timothy 6, verse 22. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. To see the supernatural happen in our lives, we need faith that's aggressive. Faith that teams up with patience. We've got faith and we've got patience. That is a lethal combination for the enemy. That will put him, make him run away already. And that will bring the impossible to pass. Faith and patience. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So now that we've heard that we need patience to inherit our promises from God, patience to put Jesus on display, and patience to receive our miracle, how do we develop it? Anyone have a quick fix, magical formula for developing patience? No? Upstairs? No? Practice, yes. The only answer I could find was to meditate on the scriptures and to spend time in God's presence in prayer. There is no quick fix to developing patience. This will help us strengthen the fruit of patience so that it operates powerfully in our lives, so that when anything comes up, and things do come up, that's a given, we will stop and think before we act. We will choose to hear and believe what God is saying and not speak fast and snappy. We all know the damage that quick talk can do to relationships. God wants us to be close to Him. Pauline shared about that earlier. He wants to be in a relationship with us. Shall I put the rope down? Well, no, I'm holding on to my promise by keeping it on the stand. He wants to be in relationship with us. And if we pray, something happens. We draw closer into God's presence. We learn more about Him. It's a relationship. If I go home on any day of the week, or days that I've worked in the office, quite often because of an app we have that announces that I'm home, I get welcomed at the door by Kevin, my husband, and two teenage girls, and Rocky the dog, and it's all chaotic for a few minutes, and everyone wants to share at the same time what happens in their day, and what's happening, and what am I going to do? And that's because they're in relationship with me. They care for me, and they know I care for them, so they want to share with me what's been happening in their days. Let's hear what the Bible says. Philippians 4:16. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's very important. We are so thankful to God, and we need to tell Him what we are thankful for. We need to tell God that we are thankful for the little things in our lives. Let your requests be made known to God. Acts 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's that word again. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, pray without ceasing. The instruction is clear. We need to pray. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking is what God tells us. It's a continuous thing. It's not a one-off, quick 5-minute thing. So prayer and our anticipation of our prayers being answered is where we really have to be patient. I'm the eldest of 5 children. I know, that's crazy. And my youngest brother, who I basically raised because I was about 11 when he was born, and my mom, having 5 children, meant she needed as many hands as she could get to help, was born with a mental disability. And when he was younger, everyone prayed for him. We took him everywhere. Anyone wanted to lay their hands on him for his healing, we prayed for him. He even went overseas to a healing center where people prayed for his healing. But as time passed, we realized that he's not going to be able to learn and read and write in the same way as we're learning. He's not going to be able to do the things that we're going to do. And that was a crossroad. Do we keep praying or do we stop? And the answer is yes, we keep praying. Why do we keep praying if we're not seeing the result? Because that's what it says in the Word of God. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effect of fervent prayer for a righteous man avails much. Every single person that Jesus came into contact with in the Bible was healed. There was not one person that Jesus interacted with who did not have a result in prayer. And it's not my job to ask, why is he not healed? It is a reality that we face. But I do not want to let go of the rope. I'm holding on to the rope. And I'm doing that because I know God wants to heal him. I know God died on the cross for his sins and for his healing. That's the promise I have in the Word. And regardless of what I see, we are holding on to the rope that he will be healed and one day marry and drive a car as he so wished he can. In the meantime, oh no, I told you that bit already. It's not always the result that matters, church, but it's the journey. Through the journey, we can develop patience and endurance. And if we do it well, that gives God glory. So even if we don't have the chair, the journey of pulling the chair towards us and trusting God, that process gives God glory. My sister waited 10 years for a baby. In that time, my brother, that's 3 years younger than her, had 4 children. And every time she was rejoicing with him, but inside she was crying out to God, when am I going to have my baby? She had to arrange so many baby showers for all her friends because they were all having babies. And if you know my sister, you'll know it was all done in excellence. It was so beautiful, every baby shower she arranged. And then the birthday parties come. And when you go to birthday parties, they ask, which one is yours? And you have to say, I don't have one. And then they ask, when are you starting your family? Those really difficult questions. And it was a long journey and a very, very painful one. And we shared it with her. But she stood on God's word. She confessed the promises over them. And Samuel, that's almost 3 at the end of the month, was born. Thank you, Jesus. But that's not the end of her journey. Her heart now desires for a second child, and she's starting the journey all over again. In the journey, we are vessels for God to use. When we patiently wait, when we share conversations of hope, that's when we are ambassadors for Christ. and people can see that we are different. There are so many reasons why we don't see results and why it's easy for us to drop this rope. And that's because there's a spiritual battle going on. We heard about the armor of God a few weekends ago when we had our church weekend. And there's a reason God has given us an armor. There's a reason God uses the imagery of a soldier. And it's because we are in a spiritual battle. We know this. Our battle is against powers and principalities. But in Daniel, there's that one interesting story where Daniel was praying out to God and seeking knowledge on things. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, I heard you the first time you prayed, the first time you cried out or asked the question, I heard you. But it took the angel of the Lord 21 days to get to Daniel to give him that message. And that's because of powers and principalities that was holding him back. Eventually, Michael, the archangel, had to come and save the day. So these things are happening. This is our reality. The enemy does not want us to succeed. Our ultimate destination is heaven, right? We're going to be reunited with Jesus one day. How amazing. And we should try and introduce Jesus to as many people as we can so they can go with us. But the enemy doesn't want that. So he's going to throw every trial and every challenge in our way to make sure we don't get there. We've been praying as a church for 2 years fervently, seeking God's face for what we can do for our town, how we can reach our town. We've got some prayer initiatives going on. We've got Thursday night prayer. We've got 24-hour prayer once every second month, our praise and prayer nights, and we've got pre-service prayer as well. We have seen God starting to move. There are glimpses of his glory. And we know he's present here with us. But that's not it. That's not the end of the road. We are trusting God for so much more. We are holding on to the rope and slowly pulling in the promises that these pews will be filled with young people, with people with broken hearts in the world out there. We know that's what Jesus wants, and that's what we're standing on, his promises for those people to be healed and to be in a relationship with him. If we are desperate for growth, if we are desperate to receive our healing, we will pray desperately. Sometimes our prayer lives become a bit stale, and it's not always intentional, but it's hard. We are trusting God and we don't see the results. But God is waiting for you today. God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me. He is waiting. And I pray that we will be like those where the seeds fall on good soil, where we hear the word of God and we retain it by persevering and producing fruit. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll teach us patience today. I pray that you'll give us a desire to pray, a desire to continuously pray and have fervent prayers. We know your desire is to communicate with us, Father God, and that's what we want to do. We know your Holy Spirit is praying inside of us with groanings, wordless groanings. We know the Son is interceding for us on the right hand of God, which is so amazing. And Lord, we want to come before you this morning and say, we want to pray with them. We want to stand on those promises again. And if you are here today and this all sounds totally foreign, you don't know what it means to be in relationship with God, I just want you to know that God wants a relationship with you. With you personally. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and give me a little wave so I can pray for you afterwards, so that I can encourage you and give you some resources. And for the for the rest of us? Sometimes we feel a disconnection between what God has promised and what our reality is showing. And if that's you today, if there are any parts of your life where you've let go of the rope, where it has just been too hard and too challenging to stand on God's promises, I want to encourage you to pick that rope up again today. So as we pray and as Di plays, please come forward. Let's pray together today. To a certain extent, that's each and every one of us. So I pray that we'll stand up today in our spirit and say, Lord, we are not letting go of your promises. We are going to try again. We know you are a patient God. We are going to stand up and declare the word of God. Amen.
Marie, thank you. We're gonna close and pray and spend some time thinking about and worshiping God. But as we do that, I would like to send this rope round. Is that okay? I haven't tried this. I don't know if this will work. We will pass it round, and I can carry that round. Maybe that dial release you should be. As a little bit of a symbol, unreal it, we'll try and move it round the church. It might only go down around the bottom bit because I don't want to create any dangerous, hazardous things going on. And as we worship and as we think about prayer and committing to God again and holding on to promises, maybe as an act of that, you want to step out.